Happy New Year, by the way. I'm going to go rogue. We're leaving John today. We're not going to stay there. We're going to go back to a passage that has been heavy on my heart for years, and I'm going to actually take you into it right now, back into something that God used 3 years ago to the day in my heart, my life, 2 years ago and today, to revive hope of his presence in my life and his hand on my life. And so I want you to go to the book of Exodus, if you would. And we're going to go to chapter number 12, and that's where we're going to take our text. Now, I'm going to give you a couple extra. For those of you that are taking notes, write these verses down. Romans 12, 1 and 2, they're very common. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. All right, so write those down. We're going to visit those in just a second, okay? But as I was preparing for today, I mean, God just really brings me back to this over the past few years, again and again and again. And so last night even, as I woke up in the middle of the night, this verse was echoing in my mind. And we're going to go back and we're going to revisit the moment that the children of Israel walked out of Egypt. 2 years ago, my wife, she came home and I shared with her a little thing that God had given me in my devotions for that day. In that, for the first time in my life, I didn't realize that when the children of Israel left Egypt, it was on New Year's Eve, right? It was the last day of the 430th year of captivity. Write that down, 430 years. I mean, that's multiple generations. That's a lot of people. Now, did they live longer back then? Yes, we know Moses lived 120 years old. But think about this. I mean, that's a quarter of people that you know, the fathers and the mothers and the grandparents, they're dead. I mean, you've been in captivity at this point. This has been your life. I mean, you have not known anything other than this. And now God has declared it over. Now God has declared you free. He has set you free, and Pharaoh is over it. I mean, God has moved his mighty hand, and Pharaoh, actually, we pick up with him in verse number 31 of chapter number 12, where Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night, and he used two words. Ready? Get out. I like that. You know what? I want you to grab this. Maybe this could be your New Year's hope, your New Year's goal, your New Year's pursuit. Ready? Write it down. To be such a powerful believer that even Satan wants to get rid of you. All right, to be so on fire for God and the power of God moving so real in your life that Satan himself is showing up and saying, get out. All right, like, leave me alone. You're messing up what I want to do. All right, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm a firm believer in this. I'll say it very briefly. In this passage, we get a great symbolism of the enemy, the Pharaoh being the one, the demonic presence, if you would, that kept the people of Israel in a captivity state. Egypt representing a place of bondage, a place of restriction. And we've always said this, in your life, there's a Pharaoh. There's a voice, there's something that's always whispering, something that's always talking, trying to keep you bound. But there's also an Egypt. There's a place that once had you that doesn't need to have you anymore. A place that once trapped you that you don't need to be trapped by. And that could be whether it's habits or behaviors, or whether it's lifestyle or hurts or hangups. There's different things in your life that have formed Egypts in different parts of your life. And I'll be honest with you, most people I know don't just have one Egypt. All right? We don't just have one place where we've struggled. How many of you can be honest and say certain parts of your life you struggle physically, maybe with health or maybe with habits of eating? How many of you would say, yes, there's some health issues, there's different things? All right, what about mentally? How many of you would say, hey, there's areas of my mind that are very weak? Would you say that? Like insecurity, stress, anxiety, a lifestyle where you're looking at yourself as worthless, the opinions of others echoing in your mind all the time. There's a mental Egypt too. What about a spiritual Egypt where you're not experiencing God the way you should? Maybe it's a circumstance. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're a children of Israel, if you're a person in bondage, you're probably not seeing God for who God is. All right, because what you're seeing is, and I'll be honest with you, if life is hard, normally I see the hardship. Any Me Too's in the place today? Yeah, normally I can see very easily what's difficult. And I can easily forget that Pharaoh is not God. That Egypt is not heaven. That there's no throne where Satan can sit and truly have dominion over us today, because there's a living, alive God sitting on his throne who has the plan, who has the power, who has the purpose for us. And so on this day, Pharaoh comes in and his firstborn's dead. The heir to his throne's gone. Egypt is in a state of mourning as multiple firstborns are dead. Heritages have died. Things that they worshiped were corrupted and crumbling right around them. Matter of fact, if you want to go back and you want to study the plagues, you'll realize that through the plagues, God was attacking the gods of Egypt, the things that they worshiped. The water, the sky, the sun, the flies, the frogs, they had gods for everything. And God was tearing down their gods to proclaim himself. Little freebie here, ready? As you go into a new year, know this and maybe welcome this, that God is at war against the gods of your life if they have taken his place. He is coming after them, and he will prove to you that they will not work. If you're worshiping money and hoping that that's going to get you through this year, that's going to fall. If you're worshiping your husband, your wife, and hoping that they're going to keep you secure and confident this year, that's going to fall. We're not saying you're going to have an issue or sin or something of corruption. We're just simply saying at some point this year, you're going to realize that that God is not enough God to replace the true and living God. And so God tore them down so that he could show himself and show them that they could truly be free. And so Pharaoh says, get out. And then he says in verse 32, take your flocks and your herds, as you said, and be gone. Go, but bless me as you leave. And you know what I like about this? Yeah, I like that sentence. Normally it doesn't get preached about. But Pharaoh's simply saying, you've got something I need. And as you go, hey, give some of it to me. Like you've got a true faith. You've got a true belief system. And please bless me. It's the same as somebody coming up to you right now and saying, pray for me. Pray for me. They see something in you. Matter of fact, that's the greatest compliment you can get as a Christian. Don't take it lightly. When someone sees enough faith in you that they believe that God will hear your prayers, you stop and pray with them right there. And you take that and you receive that and you give it. And that's what he's saying. Hey, pray for me. Bless me as you leave. Now we know Pharaoh changes his heart, but let's keep looking. All the Egyptians urged the people of Israel to get out of the land as quickly as possible, for they thought, we will all die. The Israelites took their bread, dough before yeast was added. They wrapped their kneading boards and their cloaks and carried them on their shoulders. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And I love this, that God will bankrupt the enemy to finance your journey. I just want you to know that. All right, everything that has been used against you, they have been abused, right? The Egyptians had made their silver and gold on the backs of Israel. Satan might have made his name known on your back, but God has a way of stripping back what was stolen from you and giving it back to you. That is redemption. That is grace. That's justification. That's God coming back into your life and saying, I'm going to give you what the enemy thought he could take. And today, if you lost your joy last year, if you lost your hopes last year, if you lost your dreams last year, then you have a God today that's saying, it's time to look at the enemy and take back the ground that you have surrendered. It's time to reclaim what God has made rightfully yours. It is not Satan's story. It's not the end of your story. It's God's story being made alive and new in you. And today we need believers that are saying, we're going to reclaim the territory of our hearts, of our minds, that God sent Jesus to purchase, that God sent Jesus to set free. And what the enemy has taken in Jesus' name, take it back. It's time for the church to stop surrendering ground. And so the people did it. In verse 36, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably upon the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. Look at this next verse, this next sentence, that last verse, go back. So they stripped the Egyptians of what? Their wealth. And you're wondering, let me speak to you. You're sitting there wondering how you're going to make it. You're sitting there wondering if this is the year you're going to go bankrupt, if this is the year everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to tell you this right now. God not only has enough wealth in his account to sustain you, God can at any time, like the IRS, go into the account of the enemy and get back what you need to furnish your journey. Hey, what you think is going to be the end of your story could be the platform of the story that God's building in you. The Egyptians gave it all. And that night, the people of Israel left Ramses and started for Succoth. There were about 600,000 men, plus all the women and children. We're looking at over 1 million people. A rabble of non-Israelites went with them. In other words, it's like this. I'll be honest with you. You know, I believe the world will change when the church changes their position. When we go from slave mentality to now we're victory, now they're going to see other people who are not even part of the church, not even part of Christianity, saying, I want to be part of that. That's what this rabble is. Hey, they're not Israelites. They're not Jews. They weren't even in captivity. They just said, hey, we see what the non-Israelites, they say, we see what they're doing. And they came along with them with flocks and herds of livestock. For bread, they baked fat cakes, and from dough, the dough without yeast that they had brought with them from Egypt. It was made without yeast because the people were driven out of Egypt in such a hurry that they had no time to prepare the bread or other food. Here's where we're going to focus, verse 40. The people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. In fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's, what is this, what's it say here? Come on now, say that word. Now, before this, all we know is they're slaves. And it's amazing how in a moment you can go from defeated to victor. From weak to powerful. From you'll never be anything, till now you can become everything God designed and created you to be. The forces left the land. And on that night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So this night belongs to him, and it must be commemorated every year by all the Israelites from generation to generation. Church, I'm going to talk to you about this. I remember when my wife walked in the door 2 years ago, I sat down and said, you know, God revealed to me that, hey, we're going to leave in Egypt. We're leaving an area of life that we don't want to be in. And I'm going to suggest this to you. If you're in an area of life that you don't like, it's time to move. We talked about that last week when the shepherds said, and I'll challenge you, go look at it. Two reasons. Number one, you'll never believe how short the sermon was, all right? And number two, I believe there was a lot of powerful message that the shepherds had. Let's go, let's see, and let's tell everybody about what we have gone and what we have seen. So I want you to grab this, and I want you to understand it. If you don't like where you've been, it's time to make a move. If you don't like how life has been, then it's time to make a move. It's time to make an adjustment. Stop staying where you are in the same habits and the same lifestyle and expecting different results and complaining about where you are. If you don't want to be a slave anymore, then it's time to move out of the land that's held you in slavery. And we're not saying that you got to move out of America or out of Tennessee and all this other stuff, but maybe it's time to move out of certain mindsets. Maybe it's time you move out of certain friendships and relationships that are dragging you down. Maybe it's time that you believe and actually build a belief system worth standing on, and you start living your life according to that belief system instead of being tossed back and forth by everybody's ideas. All right, maybe it's time you dig in instead of constantly being so shallow rooted that any wind that blows and any storm that comes, you get dug up. It's time for the church of the living God to simply say, I do not want to be a slave. I want to be a force. I want to be used. I want to be powerful. And if that's going to happen, I'm going to give you just a couple things today that I believe you've got to do and take seriously in your life. Number one, as we go into a new year, I do this every time in my life. It's time to reflect. I remember saying to Jordan, we're leaving a land that we've been in, but as we leave, we got to understand what Israel didn't understand is just because you're moving out of where Satan has held you back does not mean you're moving into easy. It means you're moving into the next challenge. It means you're moving into the next assault or the next fight that you're going to have to face. But you're also moving into a deeper faith, and you're moving into a deeper experience with God. And so don't just come in and say, it's a new year. All my problems from last year are gone. No, it's a new year, and maybe you're moving on from your problems, but understand that new problems are going to arise in the next year. New challenges are going to be there. Don't think that you can get your relationship with your husband, your wife, and your children to a point and go safe and go in cruise control or go stagnant, because the moment you get to a place of growth, you better keep growing, because if you don't, you're going to get wiped out by the challenges that growth brings. How many of you understand that the larger something gets, while better, it gets more complicated? Would you agree with that? Now, I know we're in the holiday season. You've actually blown my mind. I didn't expect this many people here on a holiday, especially after everybody stayed up so late last night, all right? But look at you. You're here. What awesome. Our church in the past 2 months has seen a really big growth. And in that growth, you're like, yes, it's awesome to see what God's doing. I think there's been like 40 people saved in like 3 months or something like that. It's just rolling. Matter of fact, next week we're going to do an improv baptism, all right? And so if you want to get baptized, bring clothes next week. I'm not even going to have you sign up. Just if you've never been baptized, but you have Jesus in your heart and you're ready to take a public statement of faith, then we're going to do that right here, all right? Got it? Everybody got it? Say got it. All right, anybody's welcome. You just got to have Jesus in your heart. You say, what if I come and I don't have him in your heart? Then let's get him in your heart and we'll baptize you anyway, all right? So the thing is the baptism doesn't save you. It's a savior that you need. But hey, we're going to make a statement of faith and let it be known that I've been crucified with Christ, but now I'm alive. So next week, we're going to do that. We got two little boys that inspired this, by the way. A little boy was riding home with his mom, Joni, just a couple weeks ago. They were reading through the Matthew story. Here's how God works in your home. All they've been doing is reading through the Matthew story, and it sparked questions. And so he started asking questions, and on their ride home, told his mom that he wanted to get saved, got saved. Had another boy do it, Meg's son. On his way home from school one day, they had been talking, and hey, by the way, it's important the influence you have in your home. It's important the influence you're putting your children around, because those are the influences that are going to help build their faith. And so as they were riding home, they both accepted Christ. The very next statement out of his mouth after he got saved was, I need to be obedient. I got to get baptized. So we're going to baptize him, all right? All right, so I told him, I said, can we make this for anybody? And they said, what a celebration. So if you want to get baptized next week. But understand this, as we see that many people get saved, while you can celebrate it, I do not want to be a church with some number on a wall that says 40 people saved, yet zero people discipled. Does that make sense? You know, what good is it to say there's a savior that'll save your soul and then they get saved and we broadcast it and we tell everybody, we post it on Facebook, we get the t-shirts that say I have decided and slap it on them and then give them a good high five or a slap on the butt and never talk to them again. Hey, they're not a number. They're a force that God has planted at such a time as this to do a work on this earth, and they're not gonna grow on their own. They need a church that's gonna come beside them and say, let's walk together, let's learn together, let's grow together. There again, I'm going to plug the small groups. Get in a small group. I don't even care if our church doesn't offer it. Get one in your home. Start one. You need a group of believers you are growing with. And in there, as growth happens, as numbers happen, it gets exciting. But when there's 60 kids in children's church, now we have complications. Not because the kids are complicated, but man, we need teachers. All right, how many of you understand with growth comes challenge? You know, and yet, if you're sitting here today and saying, oh, if I could only grow in this area, things would get better, I'll promise you this right now. If your finances tripled this year, so would your challenges financially. You know what? You know what? You're going to have to fight more than you've ever fought? Yourself, right? Your wants, your desires, you know, the sale. Chris was joking with me before. You know, how many of you have ever bought something 75% off? Raise your hand. Yeah, you didn't buy it 75% off. You bought it right at the price it was worth. They just took the inflation out of it. Come on now. Right? They jacked that stuff up. Do you know that gas stations only make pennies on the dollar on the gas? They don't make much. Come on now, where's she at? What do they want you to do? They want you to walk in. Because if you walk in, the Reese cups will call your name. Am I right? If you go into a Waggles, they got their donuts smelling good. You know, they got everything there because that's where they make their money. Agreed? You ever bought a stick of deodorant from a gas station? If you've ever traveled, you have. Right? You have. And come to find out, you could have got three of them at Walmart for the same price as there. Why? That's where they make their money. All right, now understand this. How many of you have heard it? Sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay, take you further than when you're willing to go, and keep you trapped longer than you're willing to stay. The children of Israel ran to Egypt because they were hungry and 430 years didn't leave. Can I tell you this? It wasn't bad behavior that took them to Egypt. It was need. Most drug addicts get addicted out of a need, right? Whether it is a physical need and they needed medication and a doctor gave it to them and then they couldn't get off, or whether it's an emotional need to where they needed some healing or they needed to overcome what their dad did or what their mom did or what the lacks thereof. And they go to something out of need. It's not because they go out of being a terrible person. They need something. And then when they get there, Satan uses your needs to trap you into a habit or a lifestyle. And for 430 years, their needs kept them so trapped that eventually they became a slave to it. Hey, by the way, can I please write this down? We need a generation of people that is more dependent on God than we are the world, because the more dependent we become on the world, the more trapped we become by their mindsets. And we have a church and a generation. Okay, let's not talk about you. Let's talk about me. I have in my own self recognized the weakness to believe more in what's going on around me than to believe in the one who controls the end anyway. And if I'm not careful, I can find myself so bogged down by what is going on that I forget that it is written what will go on. And we just sang that song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. I went to the bathroom right before church, or in the middle of our practice, I think it was. And in there, I thought maybe we should write a thing that goes on to it. What a great thought of one day going to heaven. But we need a verse that reminds us that heaven has came here, and we do not have to wait to rejoice and be glad. We can do that here, and we can do that now, because the same God that sits on the throne of heaven that rules and reigns forever is the same God sitting on our hearts, ruling and reigning there too. And if he holds forever, he holds the moment. And if he holds all of eternity, then he holds your circumstance, he holds your trial, he holds your finances, he holds your children. And right now, don't defer your faith to what God could do, and realize that God is the I am of right now. He's right here. And so we look at this and we see that we've got to get back to this. Hey, this night, this day where we live right now, this belongs to the Lord. Whatever it is you're going through, wherever you are, this belongs to God. Let's make this a moment till we remember. You're going into a new year. And the number one thing I like to do is reflect and look back. Number one, I like to reflect on the good habits I picked up this year. Reflect on the good things that I've seen God do. Because sometimes you forget about those things in the process of the moment, the shock effect, the denial that hits you as circumstances evolve around you. God has been really good this year. I mean, do y'all remember 2 years ago, you couldn't even go to the store. Right? 2 years ago, we couldn't even meet in churches. You were masked and separated. And hey, this year you got to get together with your family. And you say, well, I didn't get to get together with mine. I'm so sorry. You're together with family today, and thank God for that. And as we look at these things and as we realize God has really been good, God has restored and renewed and done a lot of things. Matter of fact, I thought it appropriate. I don't normally do this. But for 30 seconds right here, and I'm not going to really time it, so as long as 30 seconds feels like in my mind, I want you to pause. If you got a notepad, I want you to write. I want you to just, as fast as you can, write out some of the good things you've seen God do. And if you don't have that, I want you to just sit, maybe at your home, maybe put it in the chat on Facebook. Somebody needs to see the blessings God's given you. And just sit there and reflect. 30 seconds, ready? Think about the good things. How good has God been to you this year? Go. You keep writing, you keep reflecting. Let me just give you some examples. Yesterday I got more eye contact from my son than I've probably gotten his entire life. That's a good thing, right? We're hearing more words. Took him to a piano yesterday. I set him down and I said, sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And every word, he just sang it. What an awesome thing. 2 years ago, I never knew what his voice sounded like, right? But now we know. At the beginning of this year, I thought I was going to lose my mom, like my mom. I thought she was gone. Went to the hospital, saw her, thought she was dead. When I went back, there were no hope, none of this and all that. Set night after night in that hospital, scared to death that we weren't going to have another conversation. And there she sits in the front of the balcony in good health. God's been good. Right? God gives wisdom. We found out they didn't have her IV plugged up, right? And realized that they were giving her medications that were taking her down. And God gave wisdom. And as we were able to stand and able to speak up on her behalf when she couldn't speak and stop things that shouldn't have been going on, start things that should have been, all of a sudden, overnight, she came back. Isn't God good? We're not smart enough to know those things, but God is. You know what? As I look at that, I think of that. How many of us can see what Satan's doing in the lives of other people? How many of us can see our families and the people that we love being taken down? Hey, you know what? It's time for us to stop sitting in the waiting room chair, watching them go down, and to start stepping up and saying, you need an IV. You need something better. You need a Jesus infusion. You need something in your life. This isn't how it's supposed to be. Stop this. Do this. Let's go. Hey, Christians need to stop being cowards and in love and in Jesus' name. We need to step into the situations where we see hopelessness and people dying and people hurting and speak the life that needs to be spoken so that people's lives can be rescued just like your and my life has been rescued, so that they can experience the goodness of God just like we've experienced the good of God. Hey, it's time to reflect and say, hey, here's the good things God has done this year. Let's build on those. How many of you picked up some good habits this past year? All right, some of you have. All right, how many of you would say, I've gotten a better Bible routine in my life? I got a better Jesus walk. I got a better church habit. I got a better small group habit. You know what? You need to reflect on it and ask yourself, where do you grow from there? How do you get better there? Another thing we need to look at is reflect on some of the bad habits you picked up in 2022. Bad habits come in all shapes, forms, and sizes, right? Attitudes. Matter of fact, God tells us he wants us to have a new attitude. Not just attitudes. What about eating habits? You know, you went from eating salads every day to donuts every day, and now you're wondering what's going on in your life. Or what about thought habits? You used to think of the world as a good place, and now you see it as evil and terrible. Hey, as long as there's God in you and me, there is hope that the world around us can be powerful. It can be good. What bad habits are in your life that need to go? Where have you been stuck long enough and it's time to move forward? Reflect in your life. That's a good way to start a year. Reflect. Number two, not only reflect, renew. I'm going to give you two areas that the Bible gives us in scriptures to renew. The first one was that Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Ready? Let's look at it real quick. The Bible says in chapter number 12, verse 1, it says, and so, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. In other words, it's like this. King James, a living sacrifice, present yourself, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. You know what a living sacrifice is? I'm dead to myself, but alive to whatever you want to do. So that's a living sacrifice. God's not going to wipe you out. He's just going to take the you out of you so the he in you can be seen through you. Does that make sense? And so, hey, God, here's my life. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to do this because of what you've done for me. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, in the NLT, it says, this is the way to truly worship him, is to live for him. Your worship isn't what you sing for him. Your worship isn't where you go to church. Your worship is actually how you live. Hey, I want to worship God, so I'm going to live for him. The best form of worship is lifestyle. That's a beautiful phrase right there. Write that down. Get it in your notes. The best form of worship is your lifestyle, the way that you're going to live, the way that you're going to be, how you're going to be consistent. And then it says this, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. It says, hey, don't do this. Verse number two, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The King James versions of this says he will transform you by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind. You know, the Bible uses the word renew several times. You know why you need to renew? Because you're gonna wear it out. You're gonna mess it up. You're gonna get bad programming. You're gonna get faulty information. People are going to tell you things. You're going to see things. You're going to feel negative about yourself. You're going to have these things. Hey, you not only need to reflect on what is good in your life that needs to continue and what is bad on your life that needs to be discontinued. You need to renew in your mind and in your life the things that need to be added in. Your mind is a very powerful weapon that can be used for you or against you. All right? Your mind is literally, that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6, to take up your helmet of salvation. You know what that is? The Bible's not really wanting you to walk around in physical armor. It is a symbolism of your salvation protects your thoughts. It protects your worth. It protects your identity. If I have my Jesus on my mind and I know who I am in Christ, I will accomplish more with my life than if I'm doubting who I am in Christ or doubting what I'm capable of or if I'm negative about what's going on around me or within me.
Your mind is a weapon. Please write that down. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. And it is a weapon that can be used to drive out demons, or it can be a weapon that lets them in. I mean, it needs to be protected. And the way to protect that is to put it on Jesus. Understand this. Get this. There is constant spiritual war over your attention. I mean, would you agree with me on that? I mean, you can't even watch TV without spiritual warfare over your attention. Right? And in every show, in every commercial, they use sex as advertisement. They use sex as a draw. They use lifestyles that go against God's plan in everything that they say and do. They put it in front of you constantly. You can't walk through a grocery store checkout line without some type of something in front of you that's trying to grab your attention, whether it's the candy bars or the magazines. Right? They put it there. They want your attention. I say this in every wedding. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Wherever your focus goes, your life goes. And if your life is going all towards the negative, then guess where you're going to go very quickly. If your life is going towards sin, then guess where your whole, your mind, it is out of your heart. It sets the course of your life, and your heart is the mind. It's the process. That's what the Bible's talking about. Not this little aorta thing that's pumping, but the things that's making the decisions for you. Hey, I don't know about you, but there's areas in my life that in 2023 need a renewed mind. Anybody me too in this? You know, if you would start looking at your marriage as if there was possibilities, then maybe your marriage could change. But if you keep looking at it as hopeless, then you're stuck there. If we would look at each other and say, they're people, they're people, they're people, not they're enemies, they're enemies, they're enemies, then maybe our attitudes towards each other could change. We don't wrestle flesh and blood. What do we wrestle? We wrestle Satan, principalities, evil, works of darkness, and all these other things. We're wrestling them. If somebody's hurting you today, they're under the influence of an enemy. Your prayer for them should be that they get saved, delivered, or set free from whatever evil is trying to put them in bondage. Are you with me? It shouldn't be let the flower pot fall on their head. It should be, hey, God, reach them, change them, renewing your mind. Hey, I want you to write this down. When you renew your mind, it's not this, I'm going to think about something else. It's not changing what you think about. It's changing how you think about it. All right? And I think a lot of us try to just, okay, I don't want the donut, so I'm going to think about something else. Well, eventually you're going to think about the donut again. You know, I don't like what I did in my life, so I'm going to pretend it never happened. Eventually you're going to know that it happened. It's going to come back up. You cannot bury it deep enough. The only way to bury it deep enough is to give it to God so he can bury it under the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way to bury it deep enough is to give it to God so he can bury it in the sea of his forgetfulness. You are not, nor am I, capable of burying something deep enough that it won't affect us, but I can bury it through Jesus. And it's not saying that I won't think about how shameful of my life has been, but I can think about how redemptive God has been in my life. And though those things are still present, God has been faithful and God has been good, and I can be different and I can be new, and so can you. If you sit there and you think about all the things you've done, then you're going to get trapped in a mindset of you cannot do anything else. But if you would change how you think and say, hey, though my sins be as scarlet, they can be as what? White as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. Why? In my perspective, they're terrible scarlet letter. In his perspective, they're washed, they're clean, and you have Jesus. And today, some of us need a renewing of the mind that says, hey, I can't stop thinking about how bad it's been. So instead of trying to stop thinking about it, I'll start thinking about how good God's been in the badness, how faithful he's been in the hardship. Or, hey, that even if I'm in the shadow of death right now, he's with me. Hey, listen, if you're going to spend the rest of this year, which is 364 days, trying to stop thinking about things, you're going to be exhausted in the next 15. But if you would change how you think, and maybe when fear sets in, you go to God with it. When anxiety sets in, you go to God with it. When I don't know what decision to make, I pray. And I get with him, and I get with other believers. Maybe I need to sit down and have a chat and get advice from godly counsel and actually open my heart to the way that God would handle my situation. Change how, not what you think about, how you think about it, and it will change how you feel about it, how you live, how you react. How many of you understand this? Give me a hand in the air. How many of you got this? Anybody in here admit that most of the time you try to change what you think instead of how you think? It's exhausting, right? All right? And so it's like the army. If you join the army, they don't come in here and say, this is how you should exercise. They come in at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and blow a whistle and sound a horn, and they get you out of bed, and they say, this is what you are going to do. All right, now we have a lot of believers that want to think about how we should act instead of just getting up and acting. You want to change something in your life? Start doing something different. Start stepping deeper. A renewing of your mind says, okay, God, I'm going to let you shift my focus. I'm going to let you be present in my focus. By the way, write it down. If you keep God in view and you keep seeking him, the things around you will be filtered through who he is instead of seeming bigger than who he is. Whatever you have in view gets you. Whatever you have given your attention will get and set the course of your life. That's why if you're, and we say it all the time, if you're tempted to drink, if you're tempted to use, if you're tempted to do these things that are habitual in your life that are bringing you down, pick up the phone. Call somebody. Talk to somebody right then, right there. Satan will say, hide it. You know why he wants to hide it? Because he wants to keep you in isolation so he can abuse you with it. If you're thinking about suicide, call someone. I promise you this. If you call me and you tell me you're going to have suicide, I'm calling 911. And you might sit there and you say, hey, that's terrible. No, we're going to get you help. We're not going to sit there and hope that you talk yourself out of it. All right? Because I'll be honest with you, we're not really good at talking ourselves out of stupidity. Am I right? We're really good at letting it happen. And you say, I've had somebody say, one time we called 911 on somebody that was sitting in the church, and they're like, well, you don't love me. And it's because I love you. We're loading you in the back of this ambulance right now. It's because I love you. You're going on a 72-hour suicide watch. It's because I love you. You're losing your freedom. It's because I love you. Things are going to change. I had that conversation with my daughter. We don't discipline you because we hate you. We do this because we love you. And we cannot, I told her yesterday, we cannot reward bad behavior. We can't do it. Remember, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. Bad behavior gets repeated when rewarded. And if there's a repetitive behavior in your life, it's getting rewarded. Take the reward out, you'll stop. All right, does that make sense? And so I need to change, renew the way I see it. God, how do you see this? How do you see them? I was on the phone with somebody just yesterday, and a situation in life that's been a little bit difficult, and people that's been a little bit difficult, and I've really had to battle not getting in my flesh to handle the situation. You know, I anybody else get into a moment and you're like, I know how to fix this. And it ain't, let's quote John 3:16. It ain't, let's stop and pray. Yeah, Jeff just shook his head. Yeah, it's like, I know how to fix this. You're done. Yeah, you know, like, you know what? The way to fix your relationships is not to end them. Think about that the next time you're fighting with somebody and things are going sour. You want to say something. Hey, the way to end it is to say, okay, you know what? Let's seek what God would have us to do. Change the way you think. All right, renew. Number two, not just your mind. Renew your strength. Isn't that what Isaiah 40 is all about? Let's look at this. In Isaiah 40, verse number 28, the Bible says, have you never heard? Have you never understood that the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows weak or weary. That's looking at it from a God perspective. How many of you are tired today of something in your life? Say me. All right, you're so tired you're getting to say me. All right, say it, say me. All right, if you're tired in your life, know that God's not tired. So instead of trying to lean on you to fix it, lean on the one that never gets tired. All right, go to him. He says, no one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. The King James says they'll renew their strength. And it says that they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I mean, there's three promises to something that happens in our lives when we renew our strength by trusting in Jesus. The question is, what's fueling your life today? How many of you would admit, close your eyes, I'm not gonna make you do this in open, all right? Yeah, you can, if you put a hand up in the chat, it will be public, all right? But here's the thing. How many of you would be honest that certain things in your life have affected your attitude lately? That's a lot, I've got to throw my hand up there. That's a lot of us. I'm not even going to give you the statistic. Look at me. There's a lot of bad attitudes in here, all right? There's a lot of things going on. What's fueling you? If your fear is fueling you, if your stress is fueling you, your anxiety, your insecurity, the opinions of others, if that's what's fueling you, in other words, if that's what you're building your belief system on, what's possible in your life on, then there's a good chance that your tank is low, that your strength is running out, that your energy is depleted. But the Bible says that if we trust in God to keep his word, I'm going to give you a list. Write these three things down. If you have a trust in God to keep his word, if you have a belief in Christ that all things are possible, and if you have a constant yielding and obedience to the Holy Spirit and to God's truth, your tank will be full. Here's what we're saying. God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust that you are going to lead me through it. God, I don't get this, but I'm going to trust that you are going to keep your promise. God, I don't realize and understand what's going on in my family and around me, but I'm going to believe that today there is hope because in Christ I can do all things because he is my strength. I'm going to trust. You know what God's saying? Your belief system in the word of God and in the truth of God is your power system to your life. And if you feel powerless, you're probably not plugged in to the word of God like you need to be. You're not plugged in to obedience. Matter of fact, please understand this. Don't just read it, obey it. Reading it without obeying it is like taking a pump of gas, going to a gas station, your tank's empty, taking the gas and pumping it on the ground. All right? No, if you want fuel in the tank, you got to put it in the tank. And if you want it to work, it's got to get to the engine. And once it gets to the engine, it could combust and now you have power. I'm telling you this right now, church, listen to me. It's time to stop just listening to the word of God, but actually obeying it, practicing it, putting it into work and trusting that if you do what God says, it will work out every single time. God does not fail. Your tank is full if it says, last thing, reflect, renew, and then just repeat it. I believe that 2023 has new opportunities for you and for me. I hope you agree with that. I also believe that it has new victories. Things that you've been praying about, God's answering, it's coming. Things that you've been working on, it's going to happen. We celebrated with Andre, a test that he's been trying to pass, and 2 weeks ago was able to finally pass it. And what an accomplishment as God's working in his life, giving him new opportunities, new certifications that'll open new doors. Hey, I'm also going to tell you that this year coming up, you're going to have new challenges. And you're probably going to have new discouragements. You're probably going to have new mistakes. But guess what? At the end of this year, if you're seeking God, there'll be a new you. And every day that you wake up, he renews his mercy. He renews his strength. He renews himself in you. And you need to repeat that process. Hey, when you go to bed tonight, reflect on what you did and didn't do today. When you get up, ask God to renew your mind and to put in focus the things that he has for you and to remove any distraction so that you can move forward. As you're going into a new year, ask God to set the goals and the visions. Ask God to put the things in here. Yes, it's great to have New Year's resolutions, but I promise you this, a New Year's resolution is worthless without a new you. And at some point of our lives, we got to realize that the only things that make us new is to be in Christ. To those that are in Christ, they are new creations. The old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in my life, my family's life this year. I'll tell you honestly, right off the bat, I am terrified. That last week of the year, God called us to things that are bigger than me. We surrendered to some things that I don't have the understanding for. We're taking steps of faith that are really scary to me. But the truth is every time God has asked us to take a step of faith and we've obeyed, he's not only met us there, but he's taken us way further than we ever thought possible. I do believe that in 2023, God's got great things for Grace Community Church right here. But I believe with that's going to come new challenges. People moving in and out of positions. People stepping up into the things that God has called them to do. Some of you surrendering to teach, and some of you opening your living rooms to opportunities to just host. And if it's one or two, or like last night, 10 people got together to pray in the new year right here and played games. Hey, thank God for the people you have, but you're going to have to say, okay, God, here I am. Use me. But you're not going to do that if you're not reflecting on his goodness, if you're not reflecting on the changes that need to happen, if you're not renewing your mind and letting him renew your strength, you're going to burn out quicker than you start. You're going to fall flat. And you're gonna really regret a lot of your life if you don't surrender and yield and trust and obey. We need a generation that says, okay, I believe with new comes you. And so God, I am going to put all my hope, all my faith, all my trust, all my alliance in you. A new you is based on him. Isn't that what he writes in Revelation? I think it's 20 or 21. You are in a Revelation study. You can correct me if I'm wrong. He says, behold, I make all things new. Aren't you glad that one day God will destroy this old earth and he'll create a new one? You know, to where we don't have to worry about our babies. We don't have to worry about evil and fear. I've got to where now I have to pray when I walk into Walmart because it's been so long since I've gone and all the things that happened in our society and the people that are shooting and killing. And I have to say, you know what, God, renew my mind so I can walk in peace in the store and not be freaked out by what's going on around me. You're with me. God's with you. Just like he told Mary, hell favored one, the Lord is with you. He's with you. And the only way to fail in Christ is to quit. You cannot fail with Jesus. You can't. So bow your head and close your eyes and nobody look around. How many of you today are here and in those reflections, you would say, there's certain things I need to change. You know, maybe it's not been 430 years of this habit, but maybe 30 minutes of some habits is long enough. Would you agree? How many of you would say, hey, Pastor Josh, pray with me that as I go into the new year, that I'll lay down some of these habits and I'll take up some new ones. Is there anybody like that that would say there's some old behaviors that need to go and some new behaviors that need to grow? Would you slip your hand in the air and say, that's me. Wow, look at that. What? Thank you for your honesty. But here's the thing. That honesty is step one. To admit we're powerless without Christ, step one. The next thing you need to do is take the next step. And you need to get plugged in. You need to actually put into practice some things. If you want a behavior to change, what behaviors are you going to bring in that change them? If you've been lied to in your life and you've allowed lies to set up your confidence and lies to set up your view of yourself, then what truths are you going to bring in to make the staple of your life? Romans 12 is a staple in my life. I constantly find myself thinking, am I in God's will? And the Bible says that if I'll let him renew my mind, I will know what is good and perfect and the acceptable will of God. I'll know it. And so if I don't know it, then I need to ask God to renew my mind in the moment. Is there anybody else in here would say, okay, you know what, Pastor Josh, pray with me that my mindsets would change, that I would see things from God's perspectives instead of my own, that I'll see that I need to change how I think, not what I think, but how I think about what I'm thinking about. Would you pray for me that I'll put God in view so he becomes the filter of which I see and hear and experience the world? Is there anybody who join me? I'll slip my hand up on that one and say, God, yeah, here, let's renew that. Amen. Then I'm going to tell you this. All right, stand with me, look at me, we're gonna close. You've gotta get into a repetitive behavior of reflection, renewal, reflection, renewal. God, this is me. David says, create in me a clean heart and renew your spirit within me. It's gotta be constant. It can't be something you do today and then don't do again for the next 7 days. We say it all the time. If you go to church and you use it like a buffet and you shove all these God things in your heart and you leave all excited, but yet you don't eat again and you don't taste the word again until next Sunday, you're going to be starving. You're going to be unhealthy. If today was literally physically the only day you ate, you went to Cracker Barrel, ate, and didn't eat another meal, you would be messed up in 3 or 4 days. Agreed? Or if you're like me, 45 minutes. All right? The thing is this. If you don't have a repetitive behavior, then you will not get a consistent result. And so today, our hope is as we start a new year, welcome to 2023. 22 is gone. And for some of us, that's thank God. 23 is here. God's given you a new year. Welcome to it. Don't waste it. Don't waste a minute of it. Don't waste the day of it. If you've been trapped in Egypt for all of 22, welcome to the day that God has said, let's move out of here. Let's go to a new day, a new beginning. And guess what? You don't have to wait till next year to renew your mind. If you mess up today, renew it tomorrow. If you mess up, keep moving forward. You have a God that will meet you where you are, establish you where you are, refocus you where you are. He will reuse you, repurpose you, retool you. He will not drop you. He will not fail you. Today, get into a repetitive belief system that no matter what, you're going through Jesus. And by going through Jesus, you will never fail. Amen? Agree? Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Before we do, all right, I want you to be praying over this year. I want you to look around. I know it's not our full packed out services that we are having, but even today is not skimpy. In a year from now, we're going to be in a situation of, are we two services, three services? Is this new building, a new auditorium? And in there, if that's the case, then we've got to answer God's call right here, today, to be the person that God's called us to be, to step into the ministries that God's called us to step into, to step out of the ministries that God never called us to, but we're wasting our time in, to be what God wants us to be so that people can experience God, maybe some for the first time, maybe some for the first time in understanding. He's a loving God that cares for them right where they are. But without God's people being ready, the fields will be white, but the laborers will be too few. We all pray this year that this is the year that grace takes people seriously. Their faith, their walk with God seriously. Adopt someone that you will help spiritually grow this year. Because I promise you this, as you're renewing your mind, they'll help. And as they're renewing their mind, you'll help. As you're renewing your strength, they'll help. And as they're renewing their strength, you'll help. Because as long as you've got believers around you, Christ is with you and in you. And there is always hope wherever Jesus is found. We love you. We thank God for you. That's three sermons in a row that gets you to Cracker Barrel before the Baptist. All right? Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for who you are, and thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. It's never failing, and it's unconditional, and for that we praise you. I pray that today that you would be glorified, that this would be a sermon that we take to heart and that we actually put into practice. I pray that there is some renewed strength and joy today in somebody's life. Maybe a renewed vision. God, I pray that in the heart of an old or the heart of a young, that there's an echo of a call, the call that you have to ministry, the call that you have to purpose for someone's life today, that they will stand up and answer and surrender to. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for another year in the books and another new year of hope to look forward to. God, it's my prayer that this is the year of your return, but if it's not, give us the courage and strength and endurance to bring your name and make it known everywhere we go, so that lives can be changed and experience resurrection and hope. For whatever challenges are ahead, we know you're big enough. For whatever obstacles we face, we know you're strong enough. There's no giant greater than you. There's no adversary that has power that can stand in your presence. Help us to remember that in you and in obedience to your word, it's impossible to fail. Encourage somebody with these words today.